It never crossed my mind. I don't come from an entrepreneurial family, quite the opposite. It's like the conventional way, which I, you know, started my life following. And yet I kind of, something in me was telling me, no, just, you know, go for it. And you've got enough under your belt. You know, you've got your master's, you've got 4 languages. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. 10 years experience. You're going to be just fine.
Welcome to Inspiration Rising. My name is David Trotter, and I'm a business growth consultant. I'm passionate about helping business owners just like you rise above your biggest barriers to reach your greatest goals, all without the paralyzing overwhelm, feeling all alone, or wondering what the heck to do next. I'm a former pastor and a serial entrepreneur who's passionate about personal growth because that's what's helped me cultivate peace in my life and empowered me to love my amazing wife, Laura, of 26 years, and our 2 almost grown kids. So if you're all about business, personal growth, and peace in your life, you're in the right place. I'm super glad that you're here. Hello, friends, and welcome back to Inspiration Rising. It is great to be with you today. Yeah, I'm going to tell you, the last couple weeks for me have been hard. I've really been processing a lot about what I do through Inspiration Rising and Rise Up Creatives and the Rise Up Business Academy, and feeling like something just wasn't a good fit. And I have been processing that, and my wife has been so gracious, and other people in my life have been gracious to just kind of listen and allow me to be in that middle space. You know, that middle space is, for me, the most uncomfortable space. I love the beginning of ideas, and I love when ideas are successful and people are impacted. But that middle space, that space when you're kind of going, I don't know, something just doesn't feel right, it feels like there needs to be a shift, that middle space is not a fun space. But it's the space in which I grow. It's the space which I'm challenged to look at my presuppositions of why I was thinking something would be good or how something would work or, you know, all of those, the assumptions, right? The things that you assumed would be good about a certain project or life or all of those things. And so I've been wrestling with that, I will tell you. And I'll just be honest with you. When I launched Rise Up Creatives, I feel so passionate about it as a resource. I mean, it is such an incredible resource for coaches and online educators to use to create content, to create social media content and lead magnets and workbooks and PowerPoints and all that. I mean, it is an incredible resource we've created. And it is such a low cost at $25 a month. But I have been feeling like, oh man, I'm turning into like the social media guy. I'm going on all these podcasts and I'm talking about social media. And frankly, social media is not my passion. My passion is you. My passion is helping you embrace your full identity, your true identity, helping you find your purpose, your passion, helping you launch that coaching career, helping you launch that online education website where you're providing education in whatever your expertise is. That is what I'm passionate about. And that's an overarching purpose of helping you start and create a business. So anyway, I love Rise Up Creatives as a resource, but I'm going, man, I don't want that to be my main focus in what I'm doing day in and day out and talking about social media, because that's not my passion and not necessarily not even my expertise. So I'm finding a shift that's happening within me and going, I think my main focus needs to be Rise Up Business Academy. Is this okay if I process with you like this? I hope so. Rise Up Business Academy, which I absolutely love, and people have told me it is so extremely helpful from taking someone from point A, getting started in a business, to Z, having a full-fledged business and rocking it online. And Rise Up Creatives can be an incredible content creation tool along the way. So anyway, you might hear some rumblings of changes that are going on, all good stuff. But I tell you all that stuff because my guess is some of you are in the middle space of life, that middle space where you feel like something's not quite right, something's missing, something's out of alignment, and that's okay. That just means that you're in a process of growing and clarifying and getting more aligned with what you feel your calling and your purpose is. And so take heart. The middle space only lasts for a time. But if you are willing to do the work and process with yourself and with friends to go, what is really going on inside of me? Well, then you'll start to have breakthroughs. And I'm feeling so much better in my own life, having had some of those breakthroughs here just recently. Well, hey, today I am so honored to be able to present to you a conversation with Anna Kanapik. And if you've ever dreamed of leaving your day job to travel the world or do something that's location independent, she will make you want to take the leap even more. She actually grew up in Poland and worked her way up to a coveted marketing position within IKEA. I had kind of a funny moment where in this conversation, I tell her, man, in the 80s as kids, I don't know why, but Polish jokes about people in Poland were so popular in the 80s where I grew up in Kentucky. And I was like, did you know we were making fun of you in the United States? And she's like, oh yeah, yeah, there's tons of jokes. And I thought, oh my gosh, I feel so bad. I'm joking about something. What is up with that? Why were Polak jokes a big thing in the 80s? I don't know, but I love my new friend, Anna Kanapik. She is incredible. She's fully stepped into her purpose, and she now coaches and mentors women in 4 different languages. What the heck? And she's traveled to over 50 countries. So she's going to share her journey with you, and it is going to be so inspiring for you. I just know it is. So let's go ahead and jump into this conversation with Anna Kanapik. Well, Anna, thanks so much for taking some time to hang with me today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Yeah, it's good to be with you. So you have such a unique story, and I love to get to know people and kind of, especially if their stories, you know, obviously very, you have a very, it's a very unique story. I don't know how else to say it. Tell me about where you were born and kind of the journey that you've taken.
Sure. Yeah. So I was born in Poland, so I'm Polish, but I don't know if bad is the word. I've been traveling the world pretty much like full time since 2015. So I lived in many different places. Before that too, for 10 years I worked in the corporate world. I was marketing executive like most of my career, like pretty much all of my career. This is what I studied. So I went down the conventional path, and then 2015, something like literally like broke in me. And at that time I was employed at IKEA. I was working for IKEA, which was a great company to work for. And despite many conversations with people, despite many different ways of thinking, I took that decision to leave and start traveling.
Wow. Let me just jump in real quick, because you said you were born in Poland.
Yeah.
And I don't know much about Poland other than I think I saw you were born in the 80s in Poland. Is that correct?
It is 83, exactly.
And when I was a kid, like Polish jokes were the thing. Like people made fun of people who were Polish. And I don't even understand why that, like, I mean, Lech Walesa, like, I know he was huge during that time. Like, were you aware in Poland that people in the United States were making fun of you?
I don't think I was aware of that at that time. And I don't think I even cared. I know there are jokes all over the world. I know Germans have some really funny jokes. So they used to have some jokes around like, you know, if your car is not here, it's probably there, meaning in Poland.
Oh, because like somebody stole it and then exported it?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so, okay. You know, you have to kind of, and this is not defending anyone, but this is like, this is the history we experienced, right? Which many people don't know, and it's tough. It's been really oppressive, you know.
Yeah.
It's been like 60 years of communism. Before that, World War I, World War II. Before that, which you probably don't know, because why should you? It's like three partitions of the country, literally. Wow. The country was parted in three times, right? So like centuries of oppression, of war, of really not having much.
Right.
Not being able to express yourself, because there was always someone, an oppressor, right? And I'm not even saying it from that victim kind of mentality or resentment, not at all. Just, you know, being conscious and aware, because some of these, these cultural beliefs, I inherited in a way. So I had to work through mm-hmm. them to be able to travel the world, to be able to speak multiple languages, to be able to do business internationally, to be able to serve clients all over the world, and all of these things. So, it's been a tough history. Although I have to say, like when I was born in 83. I would say that the communist era in Poland was coming to an end. So it officially ended in 98. So I kind of can remember some weird things, like my mom, like, you know, standing in lines like for hours to get some food. Mm-hmm. But other than that, I don't remember much. But, you know, it's on a serial level, like you kind of feel it, you know?
Yeah. The like oppression.
Certain mentality comes with it. That's why I believe Polish people are... Right now it's changing, but before we're so much about like acquiring things, buying, having something stable. Like Polish people didn't used to like rent places. They had to own places. Just, I think this is my belief. That's nothing that's been proven, but I believe that's a lot down to that history, right? So you want to, like after so many centuries of oppression, you always kind of want to own something. Sure. So that it's, you know, you've got something, right? And nobody will take it away from you, right? So this is kind of my kind of analysis, let's call it this way, the way I see it, looking also at previous generations and my parents and my grandparents, and how even like taking this decision to travel the world and, you know, sell my car, sell all my belongings. So my family was like, they were going crazy. They were like, what are you doing? You've been working to get all of this like such a long time, you know, all your professional life, and you're just like dumping it now, like
throwing it away.
No, because, you know, like in Poland, and I don't think it's, I really think it's connected to that history, that you value things so much more than experiences, or you used to value. Now it's changing a lot too. So I see people traveling here to South America, Latin America, Asia, like Polish people, which when I started traveling, probably like really seriously, like 10, 12 years ago, it was like hardly any people and Polish people to see in Asia, in Latin America. Now I do see them, right? So it's changing too, but I think a lot is... there was a lot of work done by the new generations too.
Sure. Wow. So in 2015, you left your corporate job at IKEA. You were still living in Poland at the time. Is that correct?
I was living in Poland. However, I was in an international project. So there was a lot of travel involved. It was a dream job. And I was living in Warsaw at that time. I'm from the south, so close to Krakow. This is where I studied, and then I moved to Warsaw, and I packed everything. I quit in June 2015 by Polish.
What got you to that place, though? Like, what was the thing that you, I mean, this is a huge decision. What was the thing that kind of pushed you to go, I want to see the world?
Sure. So I had been traveling before that, obviously. Mm. So I always took a month off. So there was always the agreement with my employer. And, you know, in Europe, I know in the States, it's a little bit different. Like 10 days or 15 days is a lot, right?
Right.
Of time off. In Europe, it's usually like, depending on the country, around like 30 days, 25 days, which is quite really a norm, right? So I didn't have family like of my own. I didn't have kids. So those periods were not important, like summer breaks, winter breaks. So I usually like worked through the whole year. And then around like February, March, I took a full month off pretty much every year. And every year I would go somewhere different. I would go to, Argentina, I would go to Malaysia, I would go to really different places. And then warm places. I think that was the thing, because around this time, like February, March, it's like pretty like windy. The weather it's no longer winter. It's not spring yet. So it's kind of a weird time. So I took that holiday. It really was to recharge my batteries, to refresh, and I would go back with so much energy every year, right? And it would just really keep working. And I was happy, you know? It's not that I was so miserable and unhappy until 2015. And that year, I actually took a month off. As usual, I went to Cuba for a month. So I traveled with one of my best friends, with my travel mate. We had traveled a lot together before. So we were really good travel mates. We went to Cuba. It was our first time in Cuba, although not the first time in Latin America, right? So we started traveling around the island, and you know, Cuba is very peculiar. And I started kind of, I don't know, something started changing. I think it had been changing before, obviously, but I guess, excuse me, Cuba was that catalyst for me to see, okay, these people live literally like earn $20 per month or $30, right? And I'm not saying it's great by any means. I saw what poverty is there. But then I saw like joy, like I speak Spanish. So I spoke to people, right? And I connected to people, and I saw like, so what's happening that I'm going to that, you know, fancy apartment that the company just is paying for me. I'm going to, you know, all those fancy events. I have this great job, you know, and a lot of travel, international travel. And yet I'm not happy. Like I actually dread the moment I'm gonna board the plane back to Europe. So where's the disconnect? I couldn't quite really pinpoint it. And I returned back home, and I tried to kind of coach myself. I was like, okay, you just need some, you know, some time, like, you know, see how many good things you have got in life and everything. And that wasn't working. So I returned after that holiday in March 2015. In June, I handed in my notice. So it wasn't a super well thought out decision. It wasn't something I had prepared for, as you can imagine. And by Polish law, you've got 3 months. So I was already employed in the company 4 years. So after 3 years, you need to stay, like, it's to protect the employee and the company, obviously, 3 more months.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's your notice period. So sure. I did hand in my notice in June, and in September, I was already boarding a plane to New York City, where I started my international adventure. So I started in the States.
Amazing. And had you saved up enough money to be able to, you know, travel around for a while? Or at what point did you open your online business?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, great question. Because I actually, like, I was saving money just, you know, just for the rainy day, I guess. This is what you would call it. But nothing really special. That was absolutely not my intention to quit my job. And even when I was quitting, I remember those thoughts, like, should I ask for like unpaid leave? Because that was possible at that stage. I was already like for a few years in the company. So, you know, it wasn't like that. I was like, you know, I had to escape because something bad happened. None of these, right? I was dealing with human beings. They were amazing. And then I something in me felt like, no, it will just limit your creativity. Even though at that point, and this is something that I still can't grasp, I never even like thought about my own business. It never crossed my mind. I don't come from an entrepreneurial family, quite the opposite. It's like the conventional way, which I, you know, started my life following. And yet I kind of something in me was telling me, no, just, you know, go for it. And you've got enough under your belt. You know, you've got your master's, you've got 4 languages. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. 10 years experience. You're going to be just fine. You worked in many countries. I worked in Germany before that. I worked in Ireland, all in marketing. So I was like, you're going to be fine. And I did it. So there were some savings, obviously. I sold my car. I sold my bicycle. So whatever was there to sell, really not to store it anywhere, just, you know, to start on a fresh page.
And your parents, were they still alive at the time?
Yeah, my dad is dead. Yeah.
And she was saying.
She was saying, baby, what are you doing? Like, come on, like you've got here everything. Like you've got your amazing job at this international company. You've got your great salary. Everything is like safety and security, everything that my parents didn't have.
Right.
Because of everything that was happening historically. I did have, right? So I studied, I was successful, everything was great. And then yet I didn't feel like happy, right? So
how many months would you say of money you had saved up where you could go, okay, I can go this long on traveling based on whatever lifestyle, you know, because you can travel lots of different ways, but like how many months of like runway would you say you had?
I would say I had around like a year and a half. And this is
a long time.
Yeah, but you see, like I don't care about like 5-star hotels. I don't care about many things, which is not to say, you know, it can be quite basic, but I love eating local food. I love road trips. So usually there will be a car involved and stuff like this. So there are certain things that I value a lot, while others like great accommodation. I'm okay with a simple motel when I was, you know, or a tent sometimes, right? Or a hostel when I was traveling around the States. And having said that, I do like to have money for other things, right? So I do like to enjoy the culture of the country I travel around. So, and then the next thing is that I started with the States and Canada, which obviously are not the cheapest to travel, right? And I did spend a lot of time, like I think more than 5 months in the States. So I traveled from New York to Seattle, and I did a road trip down the West Coast, down to San Diego, Arizona. So I did quite a lot of amazing places. I did Canada, part of Canada, British Columbia, and then I moved down to Mexico. And this is when it, of course, got cheaper, less expensive. And this is when my budget was like, okay, you can breathe. Although I love that American part, and it's always going to be something that, you know, really, this is where it all started. So, wow. So
you drove right by me. I could have seen you in a grocery store.
You could. Yeah. Yeah. Whole Foods, whatever.
That's so funny. That's so great. Chose. And so at what point did you say, but what point did the idea of opening an online business, doing coaching and kind of more soul work, when did that begin to come to you?
Yeah. So what started happening? So I actually moved to Mexico. I was in Tulum in the East Coast of Mexico. And this is when I started writing a blog. So I was like, so at that point, so you have to like kind of understand, right? So I was marketing manager for many years. I was managing many, many online projects. I studied marketing and online marketing, but I was managing them, right? So I was hiring agencies, I was hiring freelancers for different companies because before IKEA there were other companies. And so I did understand a lot about marketing and online world, and I was always passionate about it. However, there was not much I was doing you know, like manually, like with my own hands, right. Or, you know. So this is when I created my first blog, and I created it from scratch. I'll never forget it. I was like traveling around Mexico, then Nicaragua. Like, it was hot. It was crazy. The internet was dodgy and it was breaking up all the time. And I was creating that blog. I was like, what the hell am I even doing? And after like traveling Mexico, Nicaragua, Costa Rica, Panama, I felt called to go to Colombia. And Colombia, I launched that blog officially. So I was basically writing about traveling, but really about my inner journey, about my personal story. And I started like weaving in the elements of really of what I've learned. So I quickly realized that's not even a travel blog. I didn't know how to call it because like many people were inspired by the story. But what I was really interested in was not the travel so much, because I had traveled before a lot, but the travel, I saw it as a nice packaging for all of it. Sounds ugly,
sure,
but
sure.
You know,
no, something, I hear what you're like, saying.
Something that allows this inner journey, right? So for some reason, my soul needed that journey. Like some people do this work, just go to a 1 week retreat and they're just, oh, I'm so like, you know, but no, for some reason, my soul needed that. And that blog was kind of another like, catalyst. So I was writing that blog, and then from Colombia I went to Cuba again, and I returned home after almost a year.
Okay. Right? Now the spirituality component of what you're talking about, the inner work, was that something that you had been introduced to growing up or in your professional mm-hmm. career, or was it something that you were introduced to on your journey?
That was something that I was introduced, or the universe introduced me to on my journey through very like different experiences, different people, through my own kind of, you know, when you're traveling on your own, you're kind of uprooted, right? Completely. Like you start like after a year, I returned home, and home meaning Europe, because I went to Poland, but I spent some time in Germany, in Spain, in many different places around Europe. And I realized I am not connecting anymore. Like it's been only a year, but I don't really know where I belong. All I knew at that time was that journey had to continue. Like there's something more for me. And as crazy as it was, because like my money was, you know, slowly running out, and many, many different things. Like there was like, it was time, like literally a former colleague of mine said to me, okay, Anna, like this like fun journey is over. Like the real life is waiting. Right. And I was like,
yeah.
No, like, this journey continues. Like, this is my life. And I had no idea what I was talking about. I knew I had to like, keep traveling. And from there, I actually went to Southeast Asia. So I started in China, Hong Kong, and then moved down to Vietnam, Cambodia, Thailand, Burma, and Laos. So that was the next big trip.
Wow.
And there in Cambodia, so this is where I guess Southeast Asia and especially Cambodia was that spirituality, because that was your initial question, kind of got you know, reiterated for me. So
okay.
I was on a healing, on a personal healing journey, because as you can imagine, okay, so I questioned everything I was. I questioned everything I had done before.
Mm.
When I was like briefly in Europe, I was offered a job, a really well-paid job, without asking for that. I knew that would be selling my soul if I had taken that job. So I didn't. But then, so where is it going? Right? Like we are like in the Western world, we are taught we need to have that direction. We need to know, we need a plan.
Right.
And so this is how I was raised. And there were a lot of questions, but I followed that journey and kept doing that inner journey, inner work. And in Cambodia, one of the places there, I was offered an internship in chakra and energy healing.
Hey, so with you became aware of chakra, like who introduced you to the whole concept of chakras?
So those people. So of course, I had known Cambodia. About them before. So I was searching. I was already on that search. So I did various meditation retreats. I did different things as I was traveling. I was interested here in South America. I was interested in various shamanic arts and modalities. So I was interested in those things, but they were really mostly for me, right? So I realized, like, I didn't know much at that point, but I knew that there was something in me that needs healing because, of course, I was raised Catholic. Poland is one of the most Catholic countries in the world, probably. I wasn't connected to that either for many years. I felt it was something like my parents kind of installed in me, but I wasn't really connecting with that. So I was searching, and I did know there was something, there was much more. I was always super intuitive. I was always very connected to the universe. I felt I was always protected on that journey. Like most of this journey was done solo on my own. So imagine that, like some of the craziest places. And I did have quite messy situations, but I always managed to get myself out of it. So, okay, there was something more that was sure. I was totally aware of that.
And amazing. So yeah. You were offered this internship. Did you take it or what was the next step?
I didn't take it immediately. I actually said, okay, this is not happening. Come on, like what? Chakra healing, like meditation, great. Okay. And I went on, like I traveled to two more countries. I traveled to Burma, Myanmar. And this is where I was like, I was on my way there. And I was like, okay, so these things don't happen just like this. Like there is a reason for it. And I wrote back and said, yeah, I'm accepting that. Whatever, like this was the moment where I was like literally surrendered.
Wow. What year was this?
That was 2016.
Okay. All right. So you're about a year and a half into this journey. And like now you say, I'm surrendered to this kind of new path.
Yeah.
Now, were you telling your mom or your friends back home, like, hey, I'm getting into energy healing. I went from IKEA to some chakras. All right.
I did. And oh, let me tell you, was that a journey? Another journey, you know, because one thing, as you know, I'm sure, is like what's happening within you, right?
Right.
And even like maybe your family, your closest people, like absolutely like the people of choice, which, you know, your family is not always the people of choice, if you know what I mean.
Sure. Sure,
right, so those like closest people, so they would know. But usually, like what's happening here, you don't even sometimes integrate it yet. But these things are happening within you, right? And then, so that was actually funny because I had to kind of speak up because it was December. I accepted that, and I was traveling like 3 months before, like started traveling that specific journey. I started 3 months prior, and and my best friend had a wedding at New Year's Eve, on New Year's Eve in 2016. So I couldn't imagine like accepting that internship and not going at least for a few days to my best friend's wedding.
Sure.
And so I booked a flight. I accepted the internship. I said I'm coming, but I'm coming January 2017. But because I have something to attend, and they said okay, and. Of course, everyone was asking, everyone was, so what are you going to do now? Like my mom was petrified that I'm going to convert to Buddhism because Cambodia is Buddhist. I was on my blog, I was writing a lot about like, I was exploring different religions. I wasn't so interested in religions as much as like philosophies, if you know what I mean. So I was exploring Buddhism, I was exploring the yogic philosophy, I was exploring many different things, and I was writing about it, and my mom obviously was reading that, and she was like, I'm so, like, you're going to convert to Buddhism, and I'm not going to see you ever again. I was like, mom, chill out, please, like, I'm not looking for a religion here, I want to learn something, I want to see where it gets me. So of course there was that encounter of, you know, of, okay, my coming out in a way, although I wasn't even aware at that stage, like where it's gonna, you know, lead me to.
Sure.
So I did that introduction and then returned to Asia. I did that internship for almost 5 months. Yeah. And after that, four months and a little bit. And after that I went to Thailand and I actually ran my first retreat, transformational retreat based on the chakra system.
Wow. And those were people that were native Thais?
No. Those were women from, there were seven women from Europe.
Gotcha. And did you invite them there or somebody else had organized
that? It was totally my retreat. So I had run retreats in the healing center before, but of course under their brand. And I was learning, I was also helping them with marketing. So there were mutual kind of benefits. They were doing amazing work there. They were teaching me about the chakra system, about energy healing, all meditation. This is where I first did my meditation training, meditation teacher training. And then in May, I did that first retreat because I just felt like this is what I need to do. So that was another kind of calling. So this was the first kind of, this is where I consider, was really the start without knowing or without like officially launching my business. This was the start of that business.
So you just reached out to friends in Europe and said, "Hey, I'm going to put on this retreat in Thailand. Would you like to come and be a part of it?" Because you didn't have a website or anything. You're just inviting people.
I did have that blog, but as you know, like there was so many things happening that I didn't even rebrand from travel to something different.
Right, so right.
Many people were still seeing me as that, you know, crazy traveler. And then, like, you know, there was a lot about also the adventure and exploration. So I kind of, you know, connected all of it. So a little bit of travel, culture, like Thailand is such a wonderful, you know, place.
Right.
So, like, delicious on many levels. So I kind of, you know, created something that was deeply healing and transformational, but in a, you know, in a nice surrounding.
When that retreat ended, what did they say to you? Were they like, "Oh, you know, this was nice. I don't know. You probably shouldn't do another one of these." Or were they like,
"No,
oh my gosh, Anna, you've got to do this." Like, what was their reaction?
No, the feedback was absolutely positive. Everyone was excited. Of course, for many of them, you know, they never left Europe before. Like, probably like one or two people had been to Asia before. Other than that, like, it was a new, completely new experience. So that was amazing. You know, I felt that I guess pride to be introducing someone to a different country. I organized everything on my own. So I didn't use, you know, many like yoga teachers, retreat leaders, they use travel agencies and all of it. So I did all of it on my own completely. So imagine, like, at that stage, I wasn't even aware of how much work involved. So I was like, it was crazy. I was like putting together the program. I was planning everything, booking flights, booking places, booking hotels, everything. It was crazy. But, you know, it was very energy consuming. And after that, I knew I had to continue that work. But I also knew for myself, I had to like take some time off. And this is where I went to do my first Vipassana. I wouldn't even call it a retreat. It was like in an authentic Buddhist monastery in Thailand, in the north of Thailand. And this is where I took a few days off to, you know, in silent meditation, without talking, without like completely the Buddhist way, just two meals and reconnected with myself. Because as you know, you work with people, this work can be as rewarding as it is. It may be sometimes quite taxing, right?
Yeah. What an amazing story. So fast forward us up to today. What are all the ways that I know right now you're in Colombia. You've lived there for about a year or so. What are all the ways that you're currently supporting people?
Oh my gosh. Where do I begin? No. So I would say, you know, I have many, many arts and modalities. which, you know, I've learned over the years. It's been 6 years on the road almost, right? So I've got my chakra system. I'm certified yoga teacher, because at some point I returned to India to do my yoga teacher certification. I use meditation in my work. I also use, so these are the Eastern kind of modalities, right? But also I'm very like Western rooted too. So I'm a certified life coach. I'm a NLP master practitioner, hypnosis practitioner. And of course, I have all that background in marketing and business, right?
Business, so right.
Where the disconnect started like happening was, okay, on one hand, I'm all about Eastern philosophies because they have helped me so much, you know, as a yoga practitioner first, and then as a chakra practitioner and all of this. And yet, come on, like I can't deny where I came from and all those, like I was still like super passionate about how the mind works, how like hypnosis has been hugely beneficial on my journey, and NLP and so many different, you know, modalities. So I was like, where am I in all of it? And this is where I realized that, you know, that work that I'm doing, it doesn't have to be like one or the other. Like I can kind of, you know, fuse it. I can combine it. And this is when I actually moved into business coaching full time. So I was life coach for years. In that life coaching practice, I use many Eastern philosophies and Eastern philosophy based modalities, right? I created my own chakra course and many, many other things, right? My masterminds, my retreats. I did retreat when it was still possible. But at the end of the day, I realized, okay, so like what would be a great way to combine it all? And as crazy, as insane as it seemed, like how to combine like spirituality and business.
Sure.
This is exactly what I'm doing. Like I can't imagine my business without that higher purpose. Right. Yeah. If you told me, hey, Anna, there is a deal of like $1 million, but you know, like it's like you have to produce and sell this, and this would be something that I don't believe in at all.
Right.
I'll be like, no, thanks. Like I appreciate it, but like, where's the purpose behind it? Like, what's the meaning? Sure. Where's the fulfillment? So this is how I created Miana, and Miana is a dedicated community for women all over the world craving more freedom, which is a big value for me, as you can imagine, freedom, fulfillment, purpose, and impact. So I realized that, you know, blending all of these arts and modalities and my previous experience would be the best way of creating impact in the world. And this is also like, you know, the way you start realizing something and the universe confirms you, sure. Right? So this is how I first had my first business client 2 years ago. Someone came to me and said, Anna, I so love the way, you know, the way you do things, and I so love your lifestyle. Please, I'm going to pay you. I want to have a similar life, right? Yeah. I said, yeah, but I'm not doing business coaching. And, you know, an integral part of this lifestyle is my business. But she says, I don't care, you know, like, you know, put something together for me. And this is how I started transitioning from life coaching and yoga and retreats into business coaching, like using everything I have learned before, and branding and online marketing and communications and all, right?
Amazing. And so now you still offer on your website the chakra course, but you offer one-on-one business consulting, and also I'm assuming some group coaching as well.
Yeah. So right now I am, I still coach some corporate women. So this life coaching part is still there, mostly corporate women. But most of my client base are either aspiring or early stage female entrepreneurs, usually those soulful entrepreneurs. So usually, like, I feel very connected with the creatives because creativity is a huge part of my journey. Sure. So I support creatives, I support coaches, mentors, healers, yoga teachers, educators, And also sometimes even mission-driven product owners. So as long as there is a mission or a higher purpose behind what you do, I'm happy to work with you and support you to create that bigger impact.
And what's amazing, blows me away, you know, meanwhile, I'm a 10-year-old, probably because I was born in 73. So I'm 10 years old, making Polack jokes somehow that I don't even know anything about Poland. And you know, that somehow Polish people are stupid. Like, that's the whole, you know, that's the whole premise of all the jokes, right?
I understand. Right? Yeah.
No, I know, but it's just ridiculous. It's just stupid because I don't even know anything about Poland. And meanwhile, you speak 4 languages,
right?
That is just incredible. I know you have a knack for languages, but you've obviously put a lot of time into that: English, German, Spanish, and Polish. And, you know, meanwhile, I can barely speak English. Good Lord, you're crushing it. You're absolutely crushing it. I need to go back to my 10-year-old me and be like, you know, let's hold off on those knock-knock jokes. you don't even know anything about Poland. Amazing. Absolutely. Now, what is, do you say Miana or Miana? Miana?
Miana.
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 What does that mean?
Oh, there is a story behind that, but I don't think it's even relevant right now. I was looking for literally, like, when I was transitioning or rebranding from that blog, which, by the way, was in Polish. And at some point, I remember I was in Hawaii. I was traveling around Hawaii in 2017. 17, was it? Or 18? No, 17. And I had someone, I was planning my next retreat in Greece. And I had some women interested. And so we're like, hey, Anna, so, you know, let us know, like, we would love to come. So some of them were living in, like, living in Hawaii. Some of them were living in Oregon or California. So they were like, Anna, let us know, like, send us a page, a link, something, like, we would love to work with you. And I'm like, dude, like, what am I going to send you? Like, I don't have anything. Like, I do have that amazing blog that I put so much heart into. But of course I can create a quick sales pitch, but like, what do I stand for right now? And where am I? And at that point, I was more than sure that I want to support women. I was so cold, you know, traveling the world, realizing like how much inequality there is generally, but also gender inequality, right? It really broke my heart. And one of the biggest like experiences for me was in Sri Lanka 2 years ago when I was on a train traveling from the capital, from Colombo to Goa, which is the second city. And I was in a like third class compartment there, literally with all those women, because they like women and men are separate on those trains just for security reasons for women. And there was like literally like jam-packed trains, and I'm the only like white person there, of course, and all those women so kind and so generous and like, you know, literally like giving you a seat, like being so kind. And I'm like, what, like, this is like my mission. Like, I somehow need to find a way, of course, to support all kinds of women, and I do support women mostly in the Western world, but I need to find a way to somehow empower these women too. So this is where it was like literally like was channeled to me that was my path. And if I ever doubted, that was it. And a few months before, a year before, actually Miana was born. So for me, when I was creating that brand, what was really important, that it was a female brand, and that it really, at that point, I think I didn't even want to like come up with an English name that would say something. And I'm so happy I didn't, because that journey of mine, you know, transitioning from a corporate person, from a marketing person, to a yoga teacher, to a healer, wellness practitioner, through to life coach and mastermind leader and all of these things. And now to business coaching, which I believe is I don't even want to say is my final calling. That's the journey. And I think I'm sure you can relate to that too, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, wow. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that. The website is absolutely gorgeous. So encourage people to check it out. MIANNAH.com, Miana.com, MIANNAH.com. We'll of course have that in the show notes. People can swipe up on their phone and click on that.
So much.
And you offer, chakra course, coaching, biz mentorship, and all kinds of amazing things. You also have a podcast. What's the podcast about, and how who would benefit from it?
Yeah, so the podcast is called The Miana Show. So everything around the brand, and the podcast is for passionate and purpose-driven female leaders and entrepreneurs who basically wanna do the inner work, wanna align with their purpose, wanna find more meaning and fulfillment in their life, and ultimately also, of course, create more impact in the world.
Awesome. The Miana Show, you can find it on all the podcast platforms, of course. So, Anna, thank you so much for taking some time to hang with us today and just share your journey. I know your story will be so inspiring to people to know that they can find that path, right? And it doesn't have to be one like clear path with a plan in place, but you kind of meandered and have found your way into just making a huge difference in the world. So thanks for sharing that.
Thank you so much, David, for having me on the show. I highly appreciate it. And I'm looking forward to having this journey, with you, with amazing people like you, and I'm just excited, what the path unfolds for all of us, right? We are living in very interesting times.
That is very true.
Hey, congrats on listening to another episode of Inspiration Rising. Why congrats? Because you're pouring education and inspiration into your mind and heart. And that's something we all need if we're going to grow our businesses and reach our goals in life. Now, if you enjoy Inspiration Rising, do us a favor. Share it with a friend. Take a screenshot of your favorite episode and text it to them. Tell them to search for Inspiration Rising on their favorite podcast app and click subscribe. And if you haven't already, be sure to sign up for Inspo Text. That's our daily inspirational text messages. Just text me right now at 949-401-6090. That's 949-401-6090. Just say, hey, Dave, what's up? You'll get an automated reply with a link where you can add yourself as a contact. And of course, you can always unsubscribe. I want you to know today that you're inspired, empowered, and loved. Not because of the way you feel or what anyone else says about you, but because that's your true identity.